One of Australia's most senior defence analysts today criticised the federal government over its latest defence ties with the United States in the region. Former Defence Department analyst Alan DuPont says the government has not articulated a clear strategy to back up its Cocos Islands and Stirling-based ties with the US, and that it's putting its relationship with regional neighbours, including China, at risk. Alan DuPont is a fellow at the Lowy Institute and the Professor of International Security at the University of New South Wales, and he's just released a research paper warning that Australia is at a pivotal defence decision-making point right now as it winds down its deployment in Afghanistan. He spoke to me a short time ago. Alan DuPont, you say in your paper that one area of neglect that needs to be addressed is the shallowness of Australia's relationships with its Asian neighbours. Is this tighter engagement with the US in the Asia-Pacific that the Defence Minister confirmed yesterday likely to help in developing those relationships, or is Australia setting itself apart from the neighbourhood as it links more closely to a big and powerful ally?
Well, I think there's a risk that in putting all our eggs in the US alliance basket, we may neglect our relationships with the region. And I think there's a tendency for that to happen in Australia because of the weighting we give to the US. Now, my argument would be that we can have our alliance with the United States, we can strengthen it in sensible ways, but not at the expense of our relationship with Asia. And I think that the one problem that we've had is neglect in our relationship with our Southeast Asian countries, Indonesia, for example. We simply don't do enough with them. We often don't think through the consequences of what we're doing with the United States in the region. So I think there's lots of opportunities for synergies there between our relationship with the region and the United States, but I don't think we've got the settings right at the moment.
So you say that we need to strengthen that US relationship in sensible ways. Are you saying that the recent re-engagement is not sensible?
No, it's not so much I'm saying it's not sensible, it's just not clear what we're doing. I mean, there's been some rationale given by the government, but I think it needs to be fleshed out a lot more and put in some kind of strategic context as to why we're doing this, because there are going to be consequences, and not all of them are going to be good ones, and notably in terms of the response by China. So I think it's a greater clarity around what it is we're doing, why we're doing it, and making sure we communicate that message not only domestically but more importantly to the region.
You say that we are at a critical juncture now in terms of our defence strategy. In your paper you write that Australian government's made some profoundly damaging decisions about the defence force after Vietnam. Are we in danger of repeating those problems post-Afghanistan?
I think there is a risk that we might do that. I remember very clearly what happened after Vietnam, and we had this Defence of Australia policy. The consequence of that is we were not able to deploy our forces when we needed to do so. East Timor is a classic example. We just didn't have the capabilities. We've been hollowed out. And I'm worried that the same thing may happen in this post-Afghanistan period that we're approaching, because there's a lot of pressure on the defence budget and there's not a clear strategy. And I think that it's in the interests of the government and political parties more generally to actually have a bit more of a robust debate about these sorts of things. I mean, does China pose a threat to us? We need to have a reasonably honest discussion about that. What are we actually expecting our defence force to do in the post-Afghanistan era? Humanitarian intervention operations, counter-terrorism, disaster relief. Now, they can't do all those things well, so what's the balance going to be between them, and can we fund it all? Those sorts of issues should be debated publicly.
You mentioned the threat of China. How much of a threat could China pose to Australian interests in the region?
Well, I personally don't think China is a threat in the sense of a military threat, and I'm concerned that the government has given that impression in the last white paper.
So do you see these recent closer engagement with the US as simply an evolution or a logical extension of an old alliance, as the government is saying to the Chinese, or do you think it's a deliberate containment strategy?
No, I don't think it's a containment strategy. I think it is an evolution, but I don't think people have really fully appreciated the extent of the shift in the US posture in the region militarily and Australia's role in that. And my concern is that that lack of clarity may obscure quite a significant shift in the alliance relationship, which I believe needs to be debated.
What do you mean by a significant shift?
Well, we've gone from having a strong relationship with the United States, but essentially we've provided niche forces to US conflicts around the world. And we've never been central to US strategic interests in the region. But now the US is starting to look further south because of the rising importance of the Indian Ocean, and Australia is now becoming much more prominent in US eyes. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing and we should benefit from that, but we need to have a very clear understanding of what the Australian interests are here and what the cost-benefit analysis would be of hitching our wagon more closely to the US.
Isn't there an argument that linking more closely with the US in the region could work, both in terms of our strategic relationships with our neighbours and in terms of Australia's own defence budget?
Yes, I think it can. There are obvious benefits, for example, on the budgetary side in leveraging off what the US is doing. But there are also some potential downsides. That if the perception grows in the region that we are essentially a proxy of US foreign policy and defence policy, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. We do need to think about China's reaction. We shouldn't have our policies determined by what China thinks, but we do need to remember that China is our major trading partner and take on board what China's legitimate concerns are.
What do you make, though, of China's military expansion rising by more than 10% now for several years?
Well, in one sense, that's a natural reflection of China's economic growth. On the other hand, the criticism of China's defence budget and its strategy more generally is the lack of transparency. It's not clear why the PLA is developing the capabilities it's got or how long this defence spending is going to go on.
And in that sense, isn't Australia sensible then to be linking with a big and powerful ally in the region?
Yes, I think it should be doing that. It is a hedging strategy. In other words, it's an insurance policy in case something goes wrong. I mean, if China's rise turns out not to be peaceful, it would make sense for a medium-sized power like Australia to have a few things up its sleeve, and that's what the US alliance represents. On the other hand, it's not like it was 20 years ago and what China thought or did didn't really matter to us.
Just on the very specific point of the nuclear submarines at the base in Perth, do you think China would see that as a threat?
It's not an individual decision that's the problem. It's a cumulative effect over a number of years of what Australia does with the United States and how China perceives it. So China is already a bit anxious about this enhanced alliance that we have with the United States and the Marines coming here. Now when it picks up the papers and Chinese leaders read the papers and see now announcements about possible use of Cocos Island, about more US ships and aircraft coming here, the impression is going to grow in China that this is somehow directed against China, and that the Chinese leaders have made that quite clear in private, that they're very concerned about this. So at the very least, we do need to be very sure that we've got a clear communication strategy and reassuring China that it's not directed against them. And that's I'm not sure that we've been very successful in doing that so far.
Alan Dupont, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Alan Dupont is a fellow at the Lowy Institute and the Professor of International Security at the University of New South Wales.